Crash, Chapter 35, January 9th. Back to school was a little like the first day after summer vacation. Everybody showing off their new stuff. Mike drew a crowd with his sneakers. Mike said he has a new web caper, something to do with tricking him into eating meat. I told him I wasn't interested. The second day back, I came around a corner and bumped into Forbes. I don't even look at her anymore, so I just kept walking. Behind me, I heard her say, "Sorry to hear about your grandfather." We were allowed to see him yesterday. He's not at the hospital anymore. He's at a rehab place. They're supposed to teach him how to walk and feed himself and get dressed and all. He was supposed to be in room 23. My parents pushed me and Abby ahead into the room. There were two beds. Somebody was in the one by the window. The other was empty. I whispered to my mother, "He's not here." "Sure he is," she whispered. "There." She was nodding toward the man in the bed by the window. Abby was already running over, but I still couldn't believe it. "That's him?" She squeezed my shoulder. We went over. Abby was on the bed jabbering away. He was propped up on the pillow. His face, everything was different. He was bony, like he was starving. His mouth was sort of crooked, like he was smirking, only I knew he wasn't. His right arm was on his lap. I thought something was weird, and then I realized what it was. The hand. It was resting palm up, the fingers half curled. It looked dead. I kept staring at Abby while she jabbered on. He didn't blink. He didn't seem to notice the rest of us. My mother leaned down and kissed him. "Hi, Daddy." His unblinking eyes rolled up to her. "Your favorite grandson is here, too." She stepped aside and he was looking at me. He was looking at the spot where I happened to be. "Hi, Scooter," I said. I started to shake hands, then remembered the flopped arm and pulled back. His mouth opened like he was going to talk, but all that came out was a drop of drool. My mother wiped it away. Abby started yapping again, but he kept his eyes on me. For a second, I thought I saw him in there, the old Scooter, trying to get out. Suddenly, Abby shut up and looked down and smiled. His good hand was clamped tight around her wrist. In the car going home, Abby said, "Will Scooter be better by February 1st? "That's your birthday," said my mother. "I know, will he?" "Not all better. It takes a long time to recover from a stroke." "How about baking? Will he at least be able to do that?" "Oh, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be working in the kitchen for quite a while." "Why? Are you afraid I'll fire Mrs. Linfont and start cooking myself?" "Mom hired Mrs. Linfont a couple days ago. She's supposed to come one day a week to clean the house and do the wash, and 3 days to cook dinner for Abby and me. So far, she made one dinner for us. It stunk." Abby groaned. "I wanted him to make catfish cakes for me to take to school for my birthday." My mother told her, "We'll get you something nice from the bakery to take in." Abby whined. "I don't want that. It won't be the same. I want catfish cakes." She kicked the back of my seat. "I won't have a party," she was crying. "He's never going to call me Swabby again." Later, I felt clammy in the house, so I took myself for a walk. It was almost dark when I got back. I still didn't feel like going in. I wandered into the backyard. As backyards go, ours is pretty big. Bigger than Uncle Herm's, or Mike's anyway. Bigger than Webb's whole property. There's 10 or 15 trees and lots of bushes and stuff along the edges. And the dollhouse. I thought I saw something on the front of it. I went over. There was a cardboard sign scotch taped to the front. It read, "Mouse House." I knelt down to look inside. Furniture was in there, tiny chairs and tables and beds and a kitchen stove. The dining room table was about 2 inches long and had 4 chairs around it with legs as skinny as toothpicks. On top of the table was the very end tip of a slice of pizza. As I got up from the mouse house, something in the bushes caught my eye. I looked closer. It was a pile of sticks about the size of a heaping plate of spaghetti. 10 feet away, you'd never see it. I walked along the line of the bushes. There was another stick pile, and there, all along the 3 sides of the yard. As I headed for the house, I saw another one under a tree, right next to the trunk. I checked out the other trees. About every other one had a pile. Before going into the house, I turned to look back. Not a stick pile in sight. The ones by the trees were on the far sides. You couldn't see them from the house, even in broad daylight. I don't know why, but I just stood there for a minute. The leaves were long gone from the trees. Some of the bare branches were forked and jagged. They looked like black lightning against the sky smeared with raspberry jam. This morning when I left for school, I stopped to check Mouse House. The pizza tip was gone. The tiny tabletop didn't have a crumb.